You've heard me mention before what's called thin places. Thin places comes from Celtic Christians. It's a metaphor for those times or situations, even places where it seems that the boundary between what we think of as the sacred and the everyday feels very thin. Kind of when maybe our hearts seem more open, or we're more feeling like we're in the presence of God, or something has elevated us to a different place. Thin places is where that veil is momentarily lifted or removed, and we can behold God. For Celtic Christians, there are thin places all over, and they're geographical places, mainly in Ireland. They're natural, some are human construction, and they become sacred places for the Celtic Christians as they visit them or as they go by them. They become holy trees, holy wells, holy mountains. Again, it's that place where it seems that the veil between the world that we exist in and the next world is so sheer that you can almost look into it, or you feel different. When you look at your journey this morning, where have there been and where are those places that have been decisively important for you? How about those times or moments when you knew without a doubt that you were in the very presence of something holy, maybe even the presence of the Almighty God? Sometimes we can be surprised by grace in places that we least expect it. It may not even be in the doors of a church. It may be walking a trail. It may be in the mountains, the beach, in a home that we grew up in. But it's when our hearts and our perception, we may just enter a thin place. And for that brief moment, or maybe for a longer time, there's clarity, there's direction for our lives. The great scholar Marcus Board writes and believes that one of the best ways to understand Jesus is to realize that Jesus himself was a thin place. Jesus was a place through which we could clearly see the eternal realm, the kingdom of God. We are on a Lenten journey. Those who call ourselves Christians, we're here to follow in the words and the ways of Jesus when he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So if you think about our journey, maybe what we need to realize is, who are we following? If you remember a Sunday school class and you're studying the lessons, the introduction for this series says, we have a Savior to serve. That is our theme during the season of Lent. Really, though, that is our theme for all time. We are called to follow and to serve our Savior in the same ways that he followed and served his Father. We're to do the same thing he did. We will find that our lives are based on following Jesus. We will serve him, and we will serve our fellow travelers along life's road. We will also find that it's very costly and very rewarding way to live. While serving Jesus should be our theme all the time, it's good to have those special times when we focus on our discipleship. Lent and Holy Week offer special opportunities to just do that. So the lesson writer says, hopefully, our focus on this theme during this season will inspire us to reflect on it as we live out our lives from now on. Who are you following? The scripture reading from Mark's gospel for this Sunday in Lent is in many ways a warning to us as we begin the Lenten journey. This 40 days of preparation before we get to Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter sometimes can be a different experience in how we build up or how it adds up into our lives and our journey. And often, we have a tendency to jump and to leap forward as we do in many things in our lives, and we forget those 40 days of the journey, and instead we want to be surrounded by Easter resurrection and the glory and the beauty and the pageantry of the white and Easter. But Mark doesn't want us to go there. Mark wants the church to see Easter in all of its glory, but not to bypass Lent and Good Friday and the cross. The gospel wants us to hear about the cross and what cross-bearing may mean in our lives. In the earlier verses, we have the great confession of Peter when he tells Jesus that he is the Messiah. But some have suggested that for this season, this Lenten season that we are in, the reason we move beyond the confession of Peter is that this is not who Jesus is, but what kind of Messiah he wants to be. We're hearing about a Jesus who will suffer rejection, even death on a cross. The rejection comes from who? From you and I? Just those in biblical times? So we may ask, as Peter, why must Jesus suffer and die? Because of a predetermined plan that will unfold? Is his suffering inedible and beyond his control? Is it voluntarily accepted, a logical result of confronting those in authority which is necessary in order to accomplish the ultimate goal of the kingdom on earth, or the kingdom of God? Jesus' message to the disciples then and to us and the crowd present is stunning. Faithfully following him will get you killed. How often do we resist the notion that the cross is a definition of what it means to follow Jesus? Followers of Christ are not to seek their own cross. It's not about bearing the cross of Tommy or something else that's happened in his life. It's bearing the cross of Jesus. Jesus speaks to the crowd in the Gospel of Mark and says, "Follow me." Chuck Poole, in trying to interpret these words, offers these thoughts, and I quote, "Who knows exactly what Jesus meant when he said to follow him? To deny yourself does not mean to despise yourself, to hate yourself, to demean yourself. It can't mean that and be true to the one who's issuing the call. But at the very least, it does mean trust yourself to God and then get on with living a life that is turned outward to reaching out beyond who you are. Move beyond the conventional wisdom of looking out for yourself and taking care of your own, instead seeing the world in compassionate, concern, and caring eyes of Jesus." The Gospel of Mark has a great deal to say on discipleship and ministry and the following me. And it's at the invitation of Jesus that we are called. Donald Cook, who was a professor of New Testament at Southeastern Seminary, in writing about Mark's gospel, talks about, if you go back and look in the first chapter, he told the brothers to leave their nets and follow me. Leave their father and follow me. He told Levi to forget that tax table and follow me. Mark focuses on the call of the discipleship of each individual disciples, but now he tells us, all of us, that we are to follow him. The passage is loaded with the vocabulary of the previous callings of disciples, but continues the form and the call, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him or her deny self, take up his or her cross, and follow me. Where do you see yourself in this Lenten journey? Where do you see yourself in being a follower? Are you comfortable following? Does not the world that we find ourselves in tell and even demand of us to be leaders and not followers? I heard, like most of you probably did growing up, that Tommy, don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. The message then and now is you should be a leader and not a follower. To be a leader will serve you well in the future. How many times have you witnessed a parent or a significant other in your life or someone else who might have influenced over you saying, I'm so proud of you. You're being a follower. Being a follower often comes with negativity. Following seems to cry out weakness and passivity on our parts. But what do you hear Jesus saying in the gospel? Follow me. The early disciples of Jesus were his followers. They'd given up their nets, their families, their sense of a comfortable lifestyle, and they were following him. They had witnessed in Jesus what he had been doing and the things that he had been saying, but they still did not get it. Who do you say that I am? He asked. Jesus wants to know if following him, they are really getting it. His challenges to his followers then and to us is to be willing to risk their lives for the sake of the gospel. What about me? What about you? In Lent, we often talk about giving up something. Chocolate, ice cream, watching basketball, doing this or that. What sacrifice in Lent do we do that helps us forget and focus on the gospel of Christ? Jesus is telling us to follow him and take up his cross. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, if a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. G.K. Chesterton wrote, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Following Christ is a difficult journey, but it is a necessary journey. It is the only journey. Lent is about sin. Lent is about ashes, even though we weren't able to have our Ash Wednesday service. It is about denying self. It is about a cross. It is about resurrection. Lent is about hearing Christ and following Christ. And I would venture to say and to guess that I think Lent is a thin place. As we learn and grow in our following Christ, I do believe that we will discover, or maybe already have, that some of the thin places that we find ourselves in may not be so sacred after all. Thin places aren't always lovely places, and they're not always outdoors, nor in the sanctuary, nor in the grand cathedrals and temples of the world. If you are to follow Christ, What if you find yourself in a hospital room? Can that be a thin place? How about an emergency room or a jail cell? Cannot a thin place be any place that drops you down into the reality of life and there you meet God? To follow Christ may just take us to a memory care unit, to a hospice bed, building a ramp as part of touching Davidson County with love. Our thin place may find us working with children or sorting food for the hungry, giving a ride or preparing a meal as part of faith health. The thin place metaphor can help us realize that all places can be thin and we can meet Christ in all areas of our lives. Or better yet, perhaps the purpose of a thin place is to train us to make those other places in our lives a lot thinner. I don't know about you, but there are many times when it feels like, where is God? Where is the Spirit? Where is there no energy? Maybe we're looking in the wrong places. Maybe our lives need to be a little thinner. But moreover, when we realize that the Spirit of God can dwell within us, will we not be able to come to believe that we are called to those thin places as God makes His presence known through us as we follow Him? You might just be taking that thin place for another as you visit and minister to them. If Jesus Christ is truly the Word of God incarnate, then He is without question the thinnest of all places. In fact, in Jesus, the barrier between the heaven and the earth wasn't just thin, it was completely non-existent because He came into our midst. Heaven, if you will, broke through the barrier and came to earth and is present then and now. The basic fact of Christian faith radically influences our understanding of places all around us, or it should. If we suggest that if we wish to experience God in a genuine and intimate way, then this will happen only through following Christ. It may be at the foot of a cross. It may be at the stone that's open for resurrection. Or it may be in the least expected places that we find Him. He is not here. He is with us. His Spirit is alive and well. And the good news of the Christianity is not that certain places are thin, but that God has come to us in Christ, and that we can experience God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In the Message, the scripture reads, calling the crowd to join His disciples, He said, anyone who intends to come with Me has to let Me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow Me and I'll show you how. Self-help is not help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. It's My way to saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? What could you ever trade for your soul? May we, this Lenten season, take up the cross and be a follower of the One who came that we might have life in and through Him. And may we find in Christ the thin places of life, for He will speak to you and He will speak to me. Thanks be to God. May we follow him, and may he give us courage and grace that we need to follow him.